It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Very often, back-to-back five-hour KM to AMs on The Fan in New York. KM, that's me, Keith McPherson, your nighttime host. I like to talk sports with the greatest fans in the world on the greatest sports talk radio station ever created. And we can do that from now till midnight. You know the number to dial. 877-337, a six, and two more sixes. Get you live on air with your thoughts, your takes, your questions, your topics. We're going to touch on everything tonight. Well, not everything, which I want to talk about. Caitlin Clark, I'm good on that. I was actually driving in thinking this is the longest time we haven't had to talk about Aaron Rodgers. Even though he's trying. Yeah, the government created. Yeah, you heard all that? Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't even say it. Don't even play into the song that doesn't end. I like those clips coming out of Jets camp, though. We're going to definitely get some clips coming from the G-men. We're working on it right now. GM Joe Shane spoke today, and he kind of followed what I was talking about last night. They have Daniel Jones. I don't think he'll be ready for training camp. They did sign Drew Lock, and when we first heard about them signing Drew Lock, Drew Lock was rumored to be coming over here and leaving Seattle for the opportunity to be the starter. And then, whoa, 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 back that up. Daniel Jones is the starter. Let's get our ducks in order. Tommy Cutlets, Tommy DeVito, Jersey, stand up. He's still around. They have three quarterbacks who have all started NFL games. They do not have to reach for a J.J. McCarthy. I would reach for a Michael Penix Jr., but they don't have to do that. It's too risky. You cannot miss at number six. You missed at number six when you signed or when you drafted Daniel Jones. You missed at number two with Saquon Barkley. Didn't need to draft a running back at number two. That will never happen in the NFL again. I mean, you might have missed on Evan Neal. They cannot mess this up. They have to get a surefire pro football player that can make an impact right now. Not now, but right now. This season, they had one good year, one down year. This year has to be somewhere in the middle. They have to be fighting for a wild card at some point this season. 877-337-6666. Giants fans, we'll get the clips from your GM, and we're definitely going to talk NFL draft. The Jets don't have to take Brock Bowers. It's a sexy pick. It's a luxury pick. It would be nice to add another weapon. You put the ball in that guy's hands, he's explosive. The Georgia Bulldog. I mean, I just don't think that you need to draft a tight end at 10 at all. If the second best tackle or the best offensive tackle is there, take that tackle. I spoke last night about Tyron Smith. It's a one-year deal, and this guy is one step away from being out injured for who knows how long. A great insurance play would to be to take, I don't know, Olufashanu and have him ready to go in the event that Tyron Smith folds in preseason training camp. Or if you want to stay with the sexy splash move because Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback and the Packers never did this, then you go ahead and you draft the best available wide receiver. And if all of this smoke and mirrors that's coming out of the draft about who's taking what quarterback, who's drafting up for this guy, who likes J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, is Michael Penix Jr. If four quarterbacks go in the first four picks or whatever it is, and Joe Alt goes, and Marvin Harrison Jr. goes, Malik, try to trade up and get Marvin Harrison Jr., reunite the Ohio State boys, maybe try to trade up and get Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze could be right there. But you also could play the game where you trade back because this is a deep wide receiver draft. This is also a deep draft for tackles. But it's going to be an offensive pick for the Jets. I just don't think that they need to draft a tight end. I keep using the example of the Lions selecting Sam Laporta and him having a much better season than Dalton Kincaid of the Bills, who was drafted before him. So we're definitely going to talk a lot of draft tonight, and I have a lot more than that, and we're going to talk about some of the other teams and some of the smoke and mirrors. I want to say this, and you've probably heard me say this before if you've been listening to me. The NFL draft is a competition. You don't want your competition to know what you're doing. They are all competing for assets. Obviously, some guys have higher picks or whatnot. Obviously, some teams wouldn't trade with other teams. We already heard that today. In division rivals, you're not going to see the Redskins, the Commanders trade with the Giants. But you're trying to throw teams off your scent. Giants fans know this. Devontae Smith a couple years ago, right? You ended up with Kadarius Toney. You almost had Micah Parsons. It is a game within a game within a game. Bill Belichick's out of the game. He's usually pretty crafty. Bill Belichick wants to get back in the game. This is an important year in the NFL. Somebody's going to get fired, whether it's, Mike McCarthy, whether it's Nick Sirianni, whether it's Brian Daboll, and Belichick will be right there. We'll talk about that too, man. NFL is 365 days a year. There are NFL fans that don't care about baseball, don't care about basketball, don't care about hockey, and they want to talk about the draft tonight. It's a week away. We're certainly going to do that. Nick Bumgarner will join me at 9:15 to talk NFL draft. He covers the NFL for The Athletic. He knows a lot more than me. I'm going to have some questions. I'm an NFL fan. Again, I just think all of this stuff that we hear right now is nonsense. None of it matters. Last year, they were telling me about Will Levis eating mayonnaise and signing a deal with Hellman's. Who cares? Will Levis sat there on camera and dropped. J.J. McCarthy, to me, is the new Will Levis. Go watch his tape. Just go Google J.J. McCarthy highlights on YouTube, and you be the judge. You tell me if that's a guy that you move up to number four to take, and you risk it, right? You don't do that if you're the Giants. He's not better than any of the three quarterbacks that you already have with NFL experience. 877-337-6666. And the Jets, right? Talking about risking it, talking about taking a quarterback. I mean, the Jets should be fired for what's happened with Zach Wilson. He's still there. They can't even trade him away. What a waste of a number two pick. That gets anybody fired. GM, head coach, whoever made the decision. But when I'm looking at the Giants, they cannot afford to be wrong on the quarterback selection. I know so many of you want to move on from Daniel Jones, and you will. The contract's set up for you to move on from Daniel Jones. But wait it out. Wait it out. Do not reach for a young quarterback. You're not in the position right now to take a young quarterback. You need to win. You need to add a player with that first round pick that can influence the team this year. Now, in the later rounds where you have picks, if you want to take a flyer on somebody like a Spencer Rattler, who has been in the building and has talked to the Giants or whatever, sure. But that first pick has to be a surefire, can't-miss pick. I remember being in the Ainsworth watching the draft, and I was sure that they were going to take Josh Allen. Everybody told me Josh Allen, not Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen, number 41 Jacksonville Jaguars Josh Allen, who the Jaguars, they weren't on the clock for long after the Giants passed on him because the Giants took Daniel Jones. That was a risk. Look where you are now. 877-337-6666. The Jets can't make another mistake here with this top pick. You don't want to be picking in the top 10. You feel me? You have to get a surefire guy. If you make that mistake, you have to hit on it, right? Remember the quote from Mike Tomlin talking to Chase Young? And Chase Young isn't even what Mike Tomlin thought he was, but he said, I'll never get a guy like you. You got to lose a lot of games to get a guy like you. You got to lose a lot of games to be able to draft a guy like that. We don't want the Jets and Giants picking in the top 10 for a long time, if ever. 877, you know the number to dial. It's the most wonderful time. We have NFL draft conversation going on. We're in the midst of a baseball season where Yankee fans feel pretty good. Mets fans are starting to feel really good. And there's a feel-good story that I tapped into last night around the rally pimp. Pimping ain't easy, but it's under control. People ruin everything. Let people enjoy things. Can the Mets fans have something organic that just sprung up in their ballpark from one fan that is actually tied to success without people trying to ruin it? Without people trying to say what it is and what it isn't? It's better than the dance crew. How about this? When the Mets come home, I want to see Mr. Met dressed as a pimp. Mrs. Met, you stay out of this. I want to see Mr. Met with the bright colors, man. Get him a pimp hat, a chain, and a cane. Lean into it. The Mets have been leaning into Jose Budo. I like Big Budo, and I cannot lie. You know, the veteran of the game, the first game, what was his name, Seymour Wiener. And now here we go with Max Wiener. Shout out to him. You've done something organically, naturally, that has come up, and it's tied to the Mets' success, and people want to ruin it. 877-337-6666. Let's lean into this upcoming series against the Dodgers. Are you paying attention to other teams? If you're listening to my show, every night I do give you a little nugget coming from L.A. I love L.A. I do love L.A. I love going to Dodger Stadium. I've been a bunch of times. It's always fun when the Mets play the Dodgers, and the Dodgers are right where you want them. Yamamoto, Mama Momo, Yama Nono, Yama Yo-Yo Mama. This guy is coming up. And think about how much time we wasted on the Fan talking about whether he was going to be a Met or a Yankee. Don't want him. Don't want him. And when I look at these guys over there in Chavez Ravine, and I say that you got them right where you want them, Mets fans, they have been losing. The Nationals just took 2 out of 3 from them in their building. The Padres just took 2 out of 3 from them in their building. They are not the almighty dream team that we thought they might be. $1 billion spent in the offseason. The Mets always compete against the Dodgers. So let's lean into the series. Like I saw, what's his name? Bobby Miller is on the IL. You know, Shohei was struggling a little bit with the whole scandal, but now that Ipe is taking the fall, Shohei has emerged again. He looks like he's back to being his regular self. Man, the Mets go out there and take 2 out of 3 and win another series and keep it rolling. They will have everybody's attention. 877-337-6666. And the Yankees better tighten up. The Yankees have to tighten up. Good win to get out of Toronto, right? Good win scoring 5 unanswered runs in the 8th and the 9th. And Judge being clutch. Judge just figuring it out. Barely fair enough, you know, enough to just win the game and enough to change the tone around the team. You know, I was surprised. I didn't get any calls last night about Anthony Rizzo not being able to field the ball. I didn't get any calls about Gleyber Torres just being a space cadet, just not ever knowing what's going on out there. It is mind-boggling that he's 27 years old, has been in the league this long. He still doesn't know left from right, up from down, what to do. Anthony Volpe in the lineup. I told you, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It wasn't broken. They fixed it. And now he doesn't look the same, but I have faith in that young man. And I put emphasis on young man. I wish they did better for that young man and kept him in the lower half of the lineup, hitting in front of Verdugo, who's heating up in the last couple games. Could you imagine the tandem of Verdugo and Volpe? Now you need that bat lower in the lineup. Trevino's starting to hit now too. Whatever, it is what it is. We got Juan Soto, that dirty dog. Juan Soto battles every single pitch. You can't be mad at Giancarlo Stanton. These guys are ready to roll. These guys showed me a lot. TWTW, the will to win. And, you know, that's a sign of a team that can build to be a champion. They didn't lay down. They didn't fold. They didn't just take the sweep. And they'll come home and face another in-division rival for the first series of this season, the Tampa Bay Rays, who are always comfortable. They are always comfortable in the Bronx. I've seen too many games where they're just, you know, up in the dugout, throwing balls to the fans, whooping it up, whether it's Derek Jeter night. I think it was Derek Jeter night that they spoiled that one. Early season games where they're just ready to play and the Yankees aren't. If the Yankees aren't ready to play, they could spoil this weekend. They don't care about John Sterling's ceremony. We all do. We're all going to show up and pack the place. Also for the Aaron Judge 62 bobblehead. But the Rays are always ready to play the villain, spoiler, rain on our parade. Got to be ready to go. Got to be ready to defend home turf and defend your spot in the MLB standings, in the ALE standings. The Rays are 11-9, 2.5 games back. You need to take 2 games out of this series. Coming up at 8:15 in about an hour, our old pal Sweeney Murdy, my dog. I appreciate Sweeney so much. I think this is going to be the first time he comes back to WFAN since last season. You know, I think about how many times I listened to the Yankees pregame show with John and Susan, and then listen to John and Susan on the call, and then it went to Sweeney Murdy. I did that hundreds of times, I feel. And now that's done. I'm getting old. I'm washed. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. Sorry, I don't know. I hit that sometimes. Sweeney's going to join us at 8:15. I hope he has a good John Sterling story ready to tell. We're going to talk Yanks. We're going to talk Mets. We're going to talk baseball. And of course, I know everybody wants to talk about Philadelphia versus New York, the battle of I-95, the Turnpike rivalry, 90 minutes away, Joel Embiid, the reigning MVP, Jalen Brunson, the people's MVP. Man, this is going to be a good one. I told you last night, Knicks in five. I'm not moving off of that. I did move off of my stance that the Knicks could not get to the Eastern Conference Finals and win it without Julius Randle. They absolutely can. We're going to talk about that tonight. Ian Begley will join me a little bit after my Casamigos big shot of the night at 11 o'clock. We'll bring Ian in at 11:15 to really start talking about the matchup and what we can expect, man. I love this matchup. I hate the Philadelphia 76ers. I hate all the Philly teams. I'm a Nets fan. I'm going back to last year when the Nets should have at least taken two games and end up getting swept by those bums. I think they were better off with James Harden. And you know what? Joel Embiid has had Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, James Harden, all these different guys around him, and never gets it done. And I don't think he gets it done this time around. He looks to be a little compromised. Going up against a rested Knicks team that all they do is run. All they do is play defense. All they do is stay on the floor. So I think it's a good matchup for those kids from Villanova as well that are very comfortable in the Wells Fargo Center. And I know that Knicks fans will not make the Garden comfortable for the Sixers fans. I mean, a couple years ago, they spit on Trae Young. You don't know what could happen in the Garden. Keith McPherson on the Fan. That's my open. We're 20 minutes in. Let's take a break. I see the calls coming in. We got a five-hour show. We're going to talk about everything. We will definitely get to the Capitals, Rangers, and the Isles Hurricane Series as well. Later on, we'll do it. We will take all your calls. We'll bring in some guests. We'll have some fun and pass the time tonight because there's nothing to watch. There's no sports on. Good. You got me. I'm ready to do the job. KM to AM returns right after this. Kids say it hits different. KM to AM on the Fan. Let's do it. We did this last night, but we're not going to do the same show as last night. We're not going to talk about the exact same things as last night. It'll be a little different. 877-337-6666. We got a full rack of calls. Let's go. I said there's nothing on to watch. I mean, I'm watching the Minnesota Wild versus the Seattle Kraken. It's on the TV. I'm not really watching it. I'm going to change it. I guess I should be watching, I don't know. Like, even the play-in games aren't until the NBA, the next round of the play-in is until tomorrow. So it's just one of those nights. Off day, baseball. I missed Jack Leiter and his debut. Didn't go so great, but that's okay, young man. I missed that game. It was a crazy game. I didn't get a chance to watch that today. And, yeah. There is a 9:45 Diamondbacks-Giants game coming on. I just don't have any interest in that. Maybe I'll take a look. But I'm here to work. I'm here to talk to you. So call me up, and we'll get into it. Anything that I talked about in my open is fair game, and then I'll bring the guests in, and we'll just roll through the next 4.5 hours like it's nothing. Let's go to Rob and Glenhead first up on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Great show as always.
Thanks. Thanks for checking in.
You got it, bro. Yeah, I'm out right now. My friend Neil Chipotle just chilling out, talking Jets, smoking cigars. I was listening yesterday to your show. The guy Bobby from Vermont called up about this guy Knoble.
Yeah,
I think I found out who. Yeah, I think I found out who he was talking about.
Okay, what college? What school?
I didn't get that, but there was an NFL Network did a spotlight on him. Neil, look up the college this kid went to. So it's pronounced Knoble when he was in an island, but then they changed to Knoble when he came over. They were talking about. I think his brother was a seventh round pick in like 2022. Dude, the kid. I don't know if he's going to go in the first round. But he plays receiver and nickel corner. His stats are crazy.
Do you know how to spell his last name? I have not heard of this kid.
Knoble. Yeah, Knoble. Neil, look it up. The spelling of his name. 40-yard dash, 4.3. Cone drill, 6.41. I don't even know if that's good. You know, you're an athlete. Is that good?
6.41? I guess 6.41. It could be faster.
Vertical 47.
No, but that's ridiculous.
The fact is this: if you're playing, if you're getting a receiver and a nickel, right? If he plays receiver, we need a receiver, right? Because Lazard's terrible. We all know that. And if he's nickel corner, we have Michael Carter, who I think is going to be a free agent next year. You can't afford him, so you replace him.
I don't know, but that's what confused me yesterday. We're talking about a two-way player getting drafted and expected to play both ways?
Yeah, dude. I never heard of it until I saw it on the NFL Network. And then when Bobby was talking about it, I'm like, that sounds familiar. I looked it up. The crazy thing, he's from like some small island near Hawaii. They have like 350 kids. It was like 13 kids on his high school team. That's why he went both ways. I know most times in New York and New Jersey, everyone goes both ways. But, you know, when you got so 13 kids on his high school team. Say again?
In high school, yeah, but in college, that's why I'm like, what?
No.
This kid, this is such a mystery to me. I'm like, I have not seen this. I haven't been watching NFL Network. It's baseball season. It's basketball playoffs.
I love the draft, man. I'm a big Jet fan. You know,
no, I said in my open, I know there are football fans. It's football season 365. You're watching NFL Network every day.
Yeah, no. I mean, I know a lot of guys want Bowers, the Bowers boys. Like, I don't know, man. That's like, if they can get this kid in the first, I don't think he's going to fall to 10. You think, maybe the Giants. Maybe the Cowboys get him. Where are the Cowboys picking?
24. And they're cooked.
He'll probably be gone by then.
The spelling of his name. Do you know the spelling of his name?
Oh, Neil, you got that name? You got it. Right. K A.
Yep.
N O.
Yep.
B L E. I'm gonna hang up and listen, Keith. Be good, all right?
Yeah, thanks for the call. So we were talking last night. Yeah, Bob from Vermont called in, was talking about this kid, and I never heard of him. K A N O B L E. NFL draft? Nah, you guys got to be trolling me. this is like the tale of like, I don't know, like a Bigfoot or something. Like, this is a two-way player that plays wide receiver, nickel corner. He's got a 47-inch vertical. What do you say the three-cone drill was? I haven't heard of the guy.
I think that might be a fake player, Keith.
Yeah, they got to be trolling me live on air. And I'm like, if... Nah, I don't know.
He also ran a 3.5 40-yard dash.
Did he say 3.5?
I don't know. It was something ridiculous on the shuttle.
Nah. And you know what's funny? All of that stuff plays right into all this stuff we're hearing about the draft because it's all nonsense. Nobody knows anything. And all of these cone drills and 40-yard dashes and verticals are not football. It doesn't always translate, right? Some guys, yeah, that you turn on the film and then you see him test. It makes sense. But there's other guys that kill it at the combine, and then they disappear once they get drafted. So, I don't know. I guess it's a funny radio thing to troll about this Knoble. But I don't think two different calls would call about this Knoble guy. Sorry for wasting everybody's time with that. 877, you know the number to dial if you actually want to talk about a real prospect. Tony's in Bayonne next up on the Fan. What's up, Tony?
How you doing, Keith?
Good, man. Still trying to figure out this two-way player. That's another thing, too. I'm like, last night I was like, Travis Hunter from Colorado? That's the only two-way player I know of that's legitimately talked about as getting drafted next year, maybe.
No, I never heard of him. All right, so the Giants have to go with the wide receiver with the first pick.
Agreed.
And the two reasons are clearly obvious. Daniel Jones... He needs that weapon. And if you're going to move on from Daniel Jones, your next quarterback is going to need that weapon.
Yeah, I'll give you two more reasons, right? Your leading receiver, Darius Slayton, he wants more money. He's rumored to hold out. Okay, hold out then. We don't necessarily need you. And then also, you lost your most explosive playmaker in Saquon Barkley. You need somebody that can break the game open. Malik Nabers might be right there for the taking.
I like Nabers. Walk it down. Malik Nabers.
LSU, you guys hit on a guy from LSU some years ago. Was it 10 years ago? Yeah. Didn't they draft Odell Beckham 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
04, was it?
14.
I'm out of the 14.
That would have been 20 years ago. But, yeah, I think history repeats itself. LSU was a wide receiver factory. Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr., maybe Malik Nabers is the next guy. And thanks for the call, Tony. With all this hype and speculation, somehow folks think that Malik Nabers is better than Marvin Harrison Jr., son of Hall of Famer Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison Jr., who went to Ohio State and played from his freshman year on. Marvin Harrison Jr., who is already a multimillionaire through NIL. Marvin Harrison Jr., who didn't even show up to the combine. You know who I am. You know what I do. You know who my dad is. You know my bloodline, my pedigree. Man, if they want the first, if the first four teams want quarterbacks, the Jets and the Giants should be on the phone. Mark, we want Mark. Can we take that? What do you want for the pick? We want Marvin Harrison Jr. We want to move up to five or four, whatever it is. Marvin Harrison Jr. He's a surefire NFL prospect. Like, his dad was grooming him from the beginning. And if you just, you don't have to Google him. I know you guys watch Ohio State. Sometimes it was just him. I don't know. I think this is pretty simple here, folks. Do not reach for a quarterback. How many times do we see these quarterbacks just become, they just miss, right? 2 years ago, shout out to my boy Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett is on the Eagles now. Kenny Pickett was the only quarterback taken by the Steelers, and he went to Pitt. So he worked out in the same facility with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I thought he was going to be their quarterback for the next 10 years. It didn't work out, right? Some folks that year said that Malik Willis was better than Kenny and that they should take Malik Willis over him. Did you see Malik Willis the last 2 years for the Titans? It is an inexact science, and most of the time, the equation does not add up, and all of these things like pro days, I don't give a damn about J.J. McCarthy's pro day. I saw a couple clips from it. It gave me eerie flashbacks to Zach Wilson. Mm-mm. Nope. Can't do it. Won't do it. Cannot do it. Stu is down in Point Pleasant, New Jersey, on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, what's going on, man?
You know, talking the talk.
Yeah, man, I know you're doing the good job. What do you think about the Sterling? So, you know, Yankee fan, Sterling, you know, there's nobody like him, right? I mean, I want to go into a little Yankee. I want to go into a little draft with you.
Yeah, I was just talking to Connor. I'm like, I love John. I got sick when I was at spring training, but I specifically went to spring training and timed it up with the one spring training game that John was doing. And that Monday, I got like a stomach bug the Sunday night before, and no way was I going to try and go and sit next to John and Susan being ill. So I missed that chance, and I haven't seen him yet this year. But what I was saying to Connor was there's a bit of sadness because this year started, and we thought that we were getting this full year from John, and
100%.
John just said, no, that's it. You know, it sucks because that Saturday game, we didn't know that that was his last game. Like, imagine if, I don't know, it would have just been different if everybody tuned in for that last one. That's where I think sadness is. It's just like over. We all knew this day would come, but the way that it came was so sudden.
Yeah, and you know, I work up north, so I'm always hitting the parkway on the way home. Nothing to listen to, you know, there's nothing like listening to his voice.
He's
that,
the best.
Know?
Theater of the mind. Yeah, he takes you back in time with his storytelling. I love his side conversations with
Bro, class act. Hey, Keith, I'll make you laugh really quick. So, you know, it's always, you know, when you're listening to the game, it is far, it is high, it's caught at the wall. Now who's going to tease me now, bro?
Man, I was driving away from Yankee Stadium when that happened 2 years ago with Giancarlo, and I almost drove off the side of the Harlem River Drive. I'm like, John!
he's the best at getting you, and it's just like, you know, nobody can replace that guy. You know, I wanted to give, you know, John Sterling a shout-out.
We will.
Even
all week,
good
all
people,
season.
Man, you know?
This one's for John. Hell yeah.
Wow. 100%, man. I'll give you a little flashback, too. The one when Clemens came back and Susan was in there and he was like, oh my God, guess who I see? And she's like, oh my God, John, it's Roger Clemens. I don't know if you ever heard that one.
You know, Uncle Craig used to always come back with that one.
Oh man, that had to be like the best one ever.
I was down in Virginia. I was down in college when that happened.
Yeah, man, that's classic. But you know, like, I know you're a Monmouth guy, man. You played quarterback. You played the sport, bro. I played the sport. I was linebacker. You know, I start saying to myself, let's strategize. Maybe we get that defensive kid out of Alabama. We haven't had anybody since LT.
You're now, a Giants fan or you're a Jets fan?
Giant fan.
Okay.
Season ticket holder.
So you want them to go defense with the first pick?
Well, no. I always, you know, I just saw that kid and I had flashbacks of LT when he was, you know, the linebacker, the man, the dog, like, you know.
You're talking about Dallas Turner coming out of Alabama?
Yeah. That kid. I mean, you know, but, okay, you're a quarterback. You need a long guy. You need somebody for years. Listen, when they picked Saquon Barkley, they had a chance to get Josh Allen. I always said to myself, oh, my God, let's go back, but you can't.
He was coming out of Wyoming.
Listen, I know what you're saying.
Like, coming out of Wyoming, I remember him doing a feature on him. I just was like, Wyoming? He had the size, he had the arm strength, but I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work out. It's all about the right fit and situation, honestly. It might not have worked out if he came here, didn't he?
I know, you know, and Saquon was the best thing, dude. He was killing it at Penn State, you know. Then he came, he had that great rookie year, and then that second year he got hurt. Now, when I played ball, I hurt my ACL. I don't know if you ever had a knee injury, but that ACL, man, it takes a year or two to get your confidence back.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't imagine playing running back. That's why I look at Breece Hall. I'm like, don't draft Brock Bowers. You need to hand the ball to Breece Hall. If he was that effective his first year off an ACL, second year he's going to be even better. Man, get an offensive lineman to open up holes for him and protect Aaron Rodgers. But what do I?
Right. No, 100%. Because if you got that ACL confidence, that second or third year, he'll be a beast, man.
He's gonna ball because he got snubbed. I thought he should have been in the top five for comeback player of the year. I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking. Like Baker Mayfield, Joe Flacco, Tua, forget who else. Breece is going to be looking for revenge.
Yeah, player comeback. You know, he was great. So, you know, and I said, you know, Keith McPherson. I said, man, dude, now I'm a season ticket holder, and I'm going to go on for a second, and I'll have some callers probably follow up with this one for you. But listen, as being a season ticket holder, you know, we haven't had excitement in a while, dude. And I know Jones and the whole neck injury.
Tommy
and then now at ACL.
Come on. You know, Tommy.
Bro,
come from Cedar Grove.
Pete, help me here, bro. You know, I know you're a Dallas fan, but, dude, we need somebody. Anybody following up this call is going to call and say, yo, he's right. We need excitement in New York. Dude, listen, Daniel Jones can compete for the job. Let's bring some stud in and have a good year, you know?
Yes, sir. Thanks for the call, Stu. Now, I don't agree with taking Dallas Turner, because the biggest move of the Giants offseason was what? You got Brian Burns. And just 2 years ago, you drafted Kayvon. So you don't need an edge rusher. Honestly, with Dexter Lawrence, like that on paper looks like it could be one of the best defensive lines in the NFC. So I'm looking at the Giants offense and I'm saying you lose the production of Saquon Barkley. You lose that weapon. Darius Slayton somehow ends up being your most productive receiver every year. And now he had his best season, so he wants new money, big money, and he's potentially holding out. Okay, hold out. We'll bring in a rookie on a rookie deal, and we'll give him the ball. And if you look at last year's draft, I mean, we got to go to break, but I could do this all night. If you look at last year's NFL draft and how once they started taking receivers, all the receivers started coming off the board. And then if you look at how they translated to the NFL, right away, these guys were ready to play. Jackson Smith and Jeeba. I mean, he had Geno Smith, but he also had Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf taking receptions from him. Quentin Johnson, he better have a big year this year. I'll never get over that pass that he dropped wide open. But Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison, Puka Nacua. There were so many rookie receivers that made an instant impact in the NFL. It can happen again, and that's why I think you're seeing these guys valued at the top of the draft. If you're picking in the top of the draft and you're the Giants, don't make the risky pick and take a J.J. McCarthy development project that nobody was talking about before this season where Michigan went undefeated and won the championship. Man, get a beast like Malik Nabers and make him the most explosive guy on your offense. Pair him with Wandale Robinson. Pair him with Jalin Hyatt. All three SEC wide receivers, and that will help whoever is playing quarterback for you. 877-337-6666. Your boy KM on the Fan. We'll be right back. McPherson Show, KM to AM. We talk sports here. We take calls. I give you all the time that you need, and I'm not going to yell at you. I opened up talking about the draft because in a week, the Jets and the Giants will add a bunch of new players, but first-round picks, really, and they can't make mistakes. There's no room for error. Coming off of last season, both teams need to bounce back. They need impact players that can impact the team right away. No development, no projects, guys that they can plug in and play. We are in the midst of the Yankees season. The Yankees are the first team to 13 wins. They are who we thought they were. They got off the mat in Toronto, and now they come home to the Boogie Down Bronx for the first Friday night game and a Saturday tribute to the legendary John Sterling. Can't wait to see you guys at both games. And then on the other side of town, the Mets, back in the New York groove, is different over there in Citi Field. They got a rally pimp. They're sweeping teams. What a difference the second homestand makes. Now they go to face the big, bad Dodgers. Remember when Mets fans wanted Shohei Ohtani to be a Met? Oh, just wait. Steve Cohen's going to bring Ohtani here. Nope. Didn't even answer the phone. Remember when Steve Cohen went all the way to Japan, took Yamamoto's whole family out for a nice French cuisine? And then when Mama Yo-Yo, he came here, he went to Steve Cohen's estate. They tried. They tried their best, and they got finessed. Just drove the price up for him to team up and make Yamamotani over there in L.A. It's time for some get back. It's time for some payback. The Mets don't need either one of those guys, and the Dodgers aren't as good as we all think. Just go look at their last couple series. The Nationals handled them. The Padres handled them. They got to figure out how to pitch. And I know Mookie Betts is out of this world. I know Ohtani's a unicorn. Freddie Freeman's one of the best hitters in the league. Blah, blah, blah. The Make It Happen Mets are a team. They have camaraderie. Seems like these guys are enjoying playing with their teammates. They're a family under Carlos Mendoza. Let's see if that continues. Let's continue with your call. Sweeney Murdy's going to join us in about 15, 20 minutes. We're going to talk Yanks. We're going to talk Mets. And, of course, we'll talk John Sterling. Later on tonight, we will get into the conversation around the Sixers and the Knicks and the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. 877-337-6666. Richie in Queens, you got it. Go for it.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
All right. I've been coughing all week, but I've been doing a good job of, like, not coughing on air.
Well, I've been coughing for 2 months either, too. I mean, it's like everybody I know has got something, but...
Yeah.
It's good to hear you. It's been a while since we spoke. You know, you mentioned Sterling. I was talking to Connor. First time I called him in 1979. And kind of unique, obviously. That was, what, 8 years before talk radio and WFAN. And I'm going to miss him. I think you know, I'm a San Francisco Giant fan.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to the Yankees because my mom is 98 and she's a fanatic, so I root for them. But to hear his voice, I mean, you know, there are certain iconic people. Scully was one that had... You know, Scully used to do all the games by himself, and he knew everything about every particular player.
Yes.
He was so incredible to listen to. And John, obviously, with his calls, a little hokey at times. And I know at the end he got a little miscues, but
it's okay.
His overall delivery was just incredible.
101.
And, yeah, and then I miss him, you know, really miss him because I would listen to the radio just to hear him. And you know, it's funny. He was the same way, Keith, back in the... And when he did the net games, and like he would always say, like with 3 minutes to go, Nets down by 9, he would say, Nets are going to lose this game. And you could tell by his voice if he was positive or negative. You know, Bob Murphy used to be that way with the Mets.
He was real, authentic. But, you could tell. You could hear it.
Yeah, and I loved talking to him. A couple of times I called in when he was on the show. He was always gracious. And, you know, and I just hope it's, you know, nothing... Sometimes, you know, they're saying it's not an illness. I'm hoping that's the case, and I hope he can enjoy, you know, his time. And but again, I'm going to miss him. You know, I called Sal. You know, I was talking and listening to Sal and BT, and they're talking about, you know, the Giants need a quarterback. And I just heard the end of yours. You know, big Giants fan. You just can't be picking him. Got to get a quarterback. You know what? If he's not the quarterback, and you mentioned some names, which I totally agree, Willis. Because he had a great, you know, combine, and obviously Zach Wilson, and these guys are just nowhere to be found.
CJ Stroud was not up the charts.
Nobody saw that coming. And then, you know, BT mentioned that there's not going to be anybody next year. You just don't know that. Guys just come out of somewhere and right. out of nowhere, and they become really, really
Especially
good.
Especially with this transfer portal, we don't know who's going to transfer where and have a great season and be the top three quarterbacks next year.
Yeah, and it's just difficult to say.
No, Archie Manning to arise. Archie Manning can't even get on the field.
Yeah, that's true. And I just, you know, again, to make that pick to say, okay, we got to pick, you know, we got to go with J.J. McCarthy because he's there. I disagree with that. You know, I just do. As much as I think I would love to see him get off to a good start, Daniel Jones, if he can be, you know, and hold the fort and pick up pieces around him and see what happens. But Yeah, they're in a mess. It's a mess of a situation. And as far as the Yankees, great start. I spoke before the season, and I watched Soto all the time in National League West against my team. And the argument sometimes, Sal brought up the fact, you know, he looks for a walk, sometimes not being the guy and leaving it behind for Judge. But you know what? He is what he is. He's the player that is not going to go outside his comfort zone.
Yeah.
And that's why his OPS
funny how,
is
like, a week later, that whole narrative, that whole take from Sal, like, it came back around where, I mean, I honestly said I understood where Sal was coming from because I watched that game as a fan and I wasn't confident in Judge. Soto not looking to do damage, swing the bat, and looking for a walk. I'm like, okay, we leave it in the hands of Judge. He's struggling. But yesterday, he did his job. He got on
right,
base. And you can only swing at pitches in the zone. Like, Soto literally is, he's daring you to throw it in the zone. Genesis Cabrera threw one in the zone. He hit it out of the ballpark.
Yeah, he
he's
did.
He's not going to chase.
But if he, suppose Judge didn't come through. Suppose Judge, the argument would be, again, hey, you're leaving if a guy that is 0 for 10 in the series.
You're right, seven but strikeouts, hitless in the series.
Yeah, and I'm thank goodness he got that because
he's
otherwise
Judge.
It would
have
been a
$40 million
you know,
Judge. He's the former AL MVP. He's one of the best hitters we've ever seen when he's right. Is he right? I don't know. He got right last night.
Yeah, and maybe that's what he needs to take off. But
sure.
And with the Knicks, it's great to see what's going on. I don't care at this point. Obviously, the Heat would have been a better matchup, especially without Butler. But I'm really curious, Keith, because you know the game a little bit more than me. I know that it's real difficult to go into and have your best player, your point guard. And basically everybody's saying, no, there's no other shooters. Well, they do have some shooters, DiVincenzo.
They said the Knicks don't have other shooters outside of Jalen Brunson?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people feel that way.
No, that's incorrect. They didn't have him last year when IQ got hurt and Randall IQ was out and Randall was hobbled. DiVincenzo.
Do you think not having that second option of Randall not being there in this series is going to take them down? And
no,
I'll listen to your response. Always a pleasure, Keith.
I'll take it from here, Richie. No, sir. I had to like really think about it and look at the numbers and watch the games and think about how the Knicks have evolved since not having Julius Randall when he went down in that Miami Heat game, which seemed so long ago. They have adapted. They have changed. Guys have risen, right? New pieces came through. Trade deadline. And I don't want people to take this the wrong way. Shout out to my boy Ben. I did my boy Ben's podcast. Young guy, up and coming. Huge Knicks fan. And he kind of got offensive when I said this about Julius Randle. You know, the universe never unconnects. Maybe the Knicks were meant to go into this run as the number two seed without Julius. He's still on the roster, yes. But he's not going to be a part of this run. Let's see what happens without Julius. Because I remember last year, Knicks fans blaming him, tearing his poster down outside the Guardian, calling him a bum. Maybe without Julius Randle, he's not there to blame. And he's not there to stop the ball and dribble the air out of the ball. He's not there to chuck up threes. He's not there to just do it his way. And they play more of a team game, and Brunson will shine. Brunson, I think, no matter what, is going to get 30 points. Maybe 35. Maybe he goes crazy for 45. It depends on the night. They don't have anybody, in my opinion, that could check him. Not Maxey, not Lowry. They don't have anybody one-on-one that can check him. And this year, they do have the shooters. DiVincenzo is a shooter. Sorry, the cough got me. DiVincenzo is a shooter. Miles McBride is a shooter. Josh Hart, depending on the night, he can shoot the three. OG Anunoby can knock down a corner three. They have the shooters. So let's see what the Knicks do this year when we all know it's on Brunson's shoulders. It's not Brunson and Randall. And then a couple years ago, it was just Randall, right? It's also not RJ Barrett, right? This is a different team, and I think that they're ready to make a run. And I'm not going to say what they can or can't do. It's different now. They have evolved. They have different pieces. They have different scores. I didn't even say Bojan Bogdanovic. Let's see what he does. 877-337-6666. We got to go right to the break and the update. BRB.